Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into these really fascinating little cards. You might know them as Hanafuda from Japan or maybe Huatu from Korea. They look like just beautiful miniature art pieces, but they're actually more like a kind of, well, a visual language, almost like a shortcut to intuition.
That's a great way to put it. And you see that difference right in the names. Hanafuda means flower cards. It points towards something, poetic, contemplative. But Huatu, that's flower battle. So straight away, it signals a more strategic mindset.
Battle definitely sounds different. And that Japanese origin, Hanafuda, it's tied into this whole aesthetic concept, isn't it? Gachufugetsu.
Exactly. Kachifugetsu, flowers, birds, wind, moon. It's this whole philosophy of just appreciating nature's beauty, especially the stuff that doesn't last.
Fleeting beauty.
Yeah. And that really sets the stage for a certain kind of intuition. More aesthetic, maybe a bit contemplative. You're meant to sort of soak in the scene.
So our mission today is really to unpack that, right? How these specific images, these cards, actually shape your intuition differently, depending on whether you're coming from that Japanese or Korean context.
Precisely. Poetic insight versus strategic foresight.
Let's start with an example. There's this great story linked to the November card, the Willow card. It features a calligrapher, Onono Tofu.
Oh, yeah, the frog story. It's a classic.
So he's apparently super frustrated, ready to give up on his calligraphy practice. Then he sees this little frog just trying again and again to jump onto a willow branch that's swaying in the wind. It keeps missing.
Seems impossible, right? But he keeps watching.
And eventually a gust of wind dips the branch just low enough and plop, the frog makes it. And Onono Tofu has this realization about persistence.
It's a great lesson. And what's interesting is that story wasn't always on the card. Sources say it actually replaced an earlier image, something less wholesome.
Like a thief.
A thief. Yeah. So they deliberately changed it to make the game more about moral education, about character building.
So that really leans into the aesthetic contemplative side. But then you look at the Korean cards, the Huatu. Big difference.
Huge difference. Visually, I mean. The Japanese Hanafuda use these, intricate, multicolored woodblock prints. Very detailed.
Beautiful, yeah. Designed to make you pause and look.
Exactly. But the Korean Huatu, especially after the 1950s, went through this major simplification. They stripped down the artwork, limited the colors to just four main ones.
Four. Which ones?
Black, red, blue, and yellow, basically. Part of it was, well, cost. Cheaper to produce. But some sources suggest it was also a conscious effort to lessen the strong Japanese spirit they felt was in the original designs.
So removing the aesthetic detail, what does that do to the intuition it trains?
Well, it shifts it dramatically, especially for the most popular Korean game, Go Stop. It's fast-paced. You need to quickly spot matching cards, high-value combinations.
Tactical patterns.
Exactly. The simplified design forces you to focus on rapid recognition. On strategy, not on, contemplating the poetry of a willow branch. It becomes a cognitive speed drill almost.
So less Kachufugetsu, more flower battle.
Pretty much. And this strategic focus has some really unexpected modern uses in Korea.
Like what?
Well, believe it or not, Watu, specifically playing Go Stop, is sometimes used in psychotherapy.
Seriously, psychotherapy, how does that work? I mean, Go Stop can get pretty intense, right? Sometimes there's gambling involved, real emotions.
That's actually the point. According to a Catholic counseling director, he uses it. They see it as training for your emotional muscles.
Emotional muscles.
Yeah, because the game is a safe space, like a sandbox. You experience these big emotional swings, the thrill of winning big, the frustration of losing, maybe some bitterness, but without, real-world catastrophic consequences. So practicing navigating those intense feelings in the game is thought to build resilience. It helps people cope better with anxiety or depressive feelings in their actual lives.
That is quite an evolution from a contemplative nature game to a tool for emotional resilience training.
It really is. And then there's another layer to divination.
Right. People use these cards for readings now, don't they? Kind of like tarot.
Exactly. Modern practice often takes the rich symbolism from the Hanafuda tradition, but applies structured layouts borrowed from Western tarot, things like the Celtic cross spread or a simple past, present, future.
So the structure helps organize the intuition.
Precisely. The positions in the spread, like this card represents your past, this is the obstacle, this is the likely outcome, they provide a framework. It makes the reading less about just pure spontaneous insight and more of a methodical, even trainable cognitive process of applying symbolism to a structure.
So these cards, Hanafuda and Watu, they're this amazing cultural artifact, started as maybe a spiritual aesthetic thing in Japan, then became this highly strategic, even psychological tool in Korea, all using the same basic set of 12 months of imagery.
Yeah, and that really highlights how much interpretation depends on context, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Take the October card, the maple and deer.
Beautiful autumn scene.
To one person, yes. Pure aesthetic beauty, but someone familiar with Japanese idioms might see something else entirely. There's a term, shikato, which means to ignore someone, to give him the cold shoulder.
Okay.
And shikato sounds like shika, the word for deer. So that beautiful maple and deer card can actually be read as a metaphor for being ignored or excluded.
Wow. Poetry and social exclusion in the same image.
Depending on what you bring to it.
So if just one card can hold both aesthetic appreciation and a metaphor for social neglect, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What layers of your own personal background, your cultural lens, are you unknowingly bringing to every single thing you interpret?